Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it, one episode at a time.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
And my name is Quinn, pronouns Zizir or they, them.
This week we are talking about season one, episode 24, the season finale, the one where Rachel finds out. This episode aired on May 18th, 1995. It was written by Chris Brown and directed by Kevin S. Bright.
In this episode, Joey is taking part of a fertility study that forces him to explore new ways of being a sexual partner. Meanwhile, Chandler accidentally tells everyone that Ross is secretly in love with Rachel, right as Ross leaves for China for a week.
Bah, bah, bah. Okay, before we get started, let's just say a little announcement, because otherwise we're going to forget.
Right. I'm very excited to talk about this episode.
I'm going to stop you. So don't forget that our season one wrap-up episode is happening live on YouTube on December 15th. That's a Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So in that episode, we'll be announcing whether or not we are doing a season two. We'll be talking about the entire season one as a whole and all our feels around it. And we'll be answering any questions that you want to send us beforehand or during, because it's going to be live. You can like chat with us. And yeah, so be there or be square, like Quinn said last week.
Also, we're going to be looking for all of your feedback from now until then. So we're actually recording on Friday. But when you hear this on Sunday, keep an eye out, because we're going to be asking for your feedback and input on just like how, you know, what season two could look like and what you guys want in it.
We are open to possibilities. So let us know kind of what you want to see, what's going to make you happy for season two.
Exactly.
All right.
So season finale.
Season finale.
Real season finale, not fake season finale like last time.
Okay. So I think it's important to talk about how different the Netflix and the DVD version is, because it's drastic.
Yeah. You guys go to your local library, take out disc four. If it's open, take out disc four. Actually, a lot of libraries, you can like sign up online for a service where that's it's true. Like you have access to these things online, and grab the fourth DVD of the first season. And we recommend watching this one on DVD.
Yeah, it's great. There's just like, so usually in like when we're talking about the DVD, there's like a joke that's cut here or there. In this episode, like there's actually like three full scenes that are cut out. And like they're funny and entertaining and add a little bit to the story. Not like, you know, obviously it's fine without them because they put it on Netflix that way and it was aired that way. But yeah, the extra little bits really, I find they give you a little bit more insight into the characters and you just, anyways, we're going to talk about them a little bit, but not too much because we figured most people are watching via Le Netflix.
That's what we call it here in Quebec, guys. Le Netflix.
Do we?
No, we
Le
don't.
Le Netflix is chill. Wow, sorry, Francophone family. All right. So maybe we can go right into your feels about this.
I think there's some like big topics in all around here, which I find interesting. Like some that are like the fun controversial topics, like do you date friends? And then other more like I guess less commonly spoken about, but also like maybe a more pertinent and important issue in this world of like you know, the male orgasm defining sex.
We've had that conversation before.
We have. And it's being brought up again here in a very comical way. And then there's some like questions about the show, because to me, like, why? I don't understand the choice of Melody dating Joey. It's just it's a curveball is really what it is. It's like, yeah, we want this storyline. How do we make it happen?
Yeah, it is interesting. Okay, yeah. So I have some feels. Like I have so many feels around Ross. Like I just in so many ways I hate him, but in so many ways, like, this whole episode makes me like so excited, and I'm just like, oh my god, Ross and Rachel, what? Like, you know, it's like this exciting thing. And like, I think it really is exciting to date a friend. Like, you know,
because it's the 15th date.
Because it's the 15th date.
But also, it's the 15th date.
But it's just like there's like, yeah, it's like the 15th date. There's like a connection. You already know them. You feel comfortable around them. And it's like, it's a really fun experience to fall in love with your friend, you know? And as someone who speaks from experience, I guess. And so I think that, like, I really am, like, rooting for friends dating. Do I wish she was dating Ross? Let's say yes. After a long, long pause, I say yes.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel like we can get into this further. Yeah.
So the cold open in the episode is not actually the same on the DVD as it is on the Netflix. There's actually, like we said, a whole extra scene. So the cold open, do we even want to talk about the DVD version? It's kind of like meh.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly like kind of a sexist joke.
Basically, the men are like annoyed that Ross is showing them these baby photos. And then the girls walk in and they're so excited by baby photos because – and I wrote it like this in my notes. I wrote, men do not like babies. Women do like babies. Because that's literally what they're saying. Like, yeah. It's just like this very basic kind of ridiculous joke that doesn't really make any sense. But –
no, it doesn't.
Whatever. So then the next – so then credits roll, and then scene one on the DVD is the cold open on Netflix.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
So we just have Ross, who's like clearly super in love with Rachel. I love Chandler's sarcasm here. He's like
– yeah.
Or – yeah, whatever. He does this thing, and he's just like, just had a little excess air in my mouth. Puh, puh.
So good.
Because I feel like that's happened to me before, where I've accidentally, okay, probably, I'm a very opinionated person. And
oh,
so,
really? They didn't know that from 23 episodes of listening to this.
Well, they could have thought that I keep it only to the podcast. Oh. Can't even say that without starting to laugh. Okay, so I have definitely accidentally made, like, responses kind of like Chandler's in these situations and, like, not wanted to. Like, it just escaped me. Mm. And so, and then, like, had to, like, do similar things to cover up. So that was, like, a very relatable moment to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one that I do accidentally a lot is, like, not an eye roll, but, like, kind of, like, an open your eyes. You know, you're, like, the, like, just, like, kind of, like, like, the, like, oh, my God, did that person just do that? And it's, like, that, like, widening of your eyes.
You do that a lot.
I do that a lot. And sometimes I don't realize that there's a mirror or that people see me. Or, you know, whatever, it happens.
But it's not just the audience that can see your reactions.
Yeah. So anyways, whoops. But yeah, and then so Joey wants to borrow money from Chandler. And then you get this great line where Chandler's just like, I really find the script is, again, so on point this episode. So last episode was so good and this episode is so good. And both Chandler and Phoebe have, like, next level scripts, I find. They're both just, like, really witty. The entire banter in this episode, it's, like, it's constant. They have this constant banter, constant joke. And I love it. I think it's really hilarious. But I guess, like, I wanted to ask you, have you ever had a friend owe you, like an uncomfortable amount of money?
Me? Probably. Well, I mean, I've had partners who have.
But, like, owe you it or, like?
It's complicated when it comes to that.
it is complicated when you share money with partners, for sure.
But, yeah.
I feel like I don't know how I would deal with that? Like, I feel like if I was in Chandler's shoes, I would feel so uncomfortable because, like, your roommate is constantly borrowing money off of you, and, like, you want them to borrow money off of you so they can afford to pay rent, so you're not stuck paying New York rent by yourself, but, like, you're also like, oh, my God, you got to stop borrowing money off of me.
Yeah, it becomes very – maybe – okay, it's interesting because earlier this season, we had a conversation about, like, something along the lines between money and Chandler and Joey, and Joey kind of implying something about, like, paying for him. Oh, right. It's when Chandler went to it was Valentine's dinner, and he ended up putting Valentine's dinner on Joey's card because he was stuck with Janice.
Yes,
and we had this whole conversation about, like, when you watch the 10 seasons, you know for a fact that, like, Chandler was the one paying for that dinner ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
But then we kind of discussed that that maybe plot point hadn't really been developed. And I kind of wonder if this is, like, the beginning of that. Like, this is the first time that we see Joey kind of, like, struggling for money and, you know, basically asking to borrow money off of Chandler.
Right. And him implying that, like, that this is not the first time.
Yeah, this is not the first time. And right. Over the next 10 seasons, we just see it sort of become where it's more like Chandler financially supports Joey.
Right.
Through his career.
True.
True love.
So Joey is then justifies that he's going to pay back because he is getting $700 to masturbate into a cup.
I didn't expect you to put it that way.
I had to. I find it ridiculous that everyone thinks this is so funny.
I know. I mean, maybe it's funny, but also I'm kind of like, yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
That's great money.
$700 for 2 weeks? Like, that's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I would 100% do that.
Like, and then that $700 now is probably more like $1,000.
That's true.
And so, yeah, I would donate my sperm for $1,000.
For sure. Yeah. And it's also a thing that doesn't really exist here. You can't get paid to give fluids.
Yeah, that's very true. But so this is a fertility study, though. It's not like
I know, but I don't know what the rules are around that because I don't know how much. I think there's like a certain amount of money you can get compensated for a study, like legally. But I don't know.
I don't know the legalities of it, but I knew lots of people in college who would do pharmaceutical studies.
I was never able to do them because they always required someone who wasn't a smoker, and at the time I was smoking, and I was so annoyed because I was like,
gotta quit smoking so you can be part of a pharmaceutical study
and get money.
I heard of people who, like, that you would spend like a weekend in a controlled room, and then you would like take some anonymous medication that you don't really know. You don't know what it is because also like psychological reactions are like a real thing, so they'd have to like give you something without you knowing what it is,
what it's for, yeah.
And you just like hang out for the weekend and yeah,
hope you don't trip.
You know, and so
that's cool.
Yeah, no. I mean, sketchy AF.
You've never done a study, eh?
I wanted to so many times, but
right. But you also have like so many allergies that like the last thing you want is like to go into a study and just like
die.
Worse. Okay. Wow. Took that to the next level.
I'm really tired, guys.
Don't die.
That's the simplest way of putting it.
Okay. So it's Rachel's birthday. They are having a barbecue birthday party. And
Phoebe's edgy.
Is great. AF.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time we find out she's vegetarian, no?
No. We knew this already.
How?
I don't have a specific memory in mind, but we definitely know that Phoebe's vegetarian at this point.
Okay. Well, she's great.
She's great.
This is like they had to make her vegetarian. Like they couldn't make Phoebe's character eat animals. Like she's just too hippie.
And her commentary on the meat is only the beginning of this scene that's funny.
Yeah.
Because
Phoebe is so good in this scene.
When Ross comes in, I just love how this plays out. Like, I love this weird photo of Ross. And, okay, to be honest, I always find it very meta and very cool whenever I see, like, a picture of a character in a movie or, like, a show that they're playing in. And you, like, I always have to ask myself, like, Did they take that for this show? I think that
all the time, yeah.
Or is it like a picture that is actually of the actor
right.
that is then now being used? In, this one looked like it was taken for the show because it's literally a headshot.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, no.
Because sometimes sure. I wonder if it's like actually their headshot that's being used, you know?
Right.
Anyway, yeah. It's very funny. it's just it. Very meta. I love meta things like that. And then I don't even have the words to like execute how it unfolds. But during this entire scene,
it's a whole big bone thing.
It's a whole big bone thing. But then like the interaction between Ross and Phoebe, I just can't tell. You just can't tell if Phoebe is like a total flake or just completely fucking with him.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like it's probably a combination of the both, mm-hmm. you know, like. Or she, like, her humor doesn't, like, quite add up to his. And so it's just, it's yeah. great.
Like, and he just gives her such a classic look when she's like, oh, so you do know Carl.
He's so angry on so many levels about that. She doesn't know why. And I love, like, the, like, vindictive sort of, you should go tell him that. Bone story. As he walks yeah. to see the guys, like,
oh, man.
Just in a really passive aggressive way of like driving home how boring that bone story was.
I know. I wrote a note in my notes that I just find it so like this is so not a 2020 thing to like. Well, actually, traveling at all is not a 2020 thing. But
oh my God,
like him going to China for a week and not being able to be reached for an entire week, like. No one travels nowadays and can't be in touch with anyone for an entire week. Like, the only thing I can imagine is, like, if he's, like, on a dig, like a dig and...
Yeah, there's no reception.
There's no reception.
But even at that point, like, communication, like, constant communication has become so important these days that, like, the company would have provided him probably with, like,
some form of phone.
A satellite phone or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's wild how, like, it used to be so... Like, they didn't even bat an eyelash that it's, oh, yeah, I'm going to be gone. You can't contact me for an entire week. Yeah. We'd all be like, what?
I know. Where are you going?
How will we know you're alive?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Exactly. I feel like, part of my anxiety has just increased because, like, I know that if someone's not texting me, they could be dead. Versus, like, if I get a message from them, I know they're alive, which is really ridiculous, but, you know, whatever. We missed a little bit of a scene that I just want to come back to because I think it's so funny. When the two men are here.
We make fire.
I think, like, I actually really like this because to me, I find they're making fun of, like, macho-ness. Like, they're kind of making fun of, like, you know, being a man. And I just think it's really well done.
I think it's hilarious, but there's also a part of me that's like you don't even know how funny this is. Right. You know, like how ironic this is. Like,
yeah, it's true.
With all of your you
toxic
know.
Masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so then Ross makes his way out onto the balcony to meet up with the men making fire.
Yeah.
And
again, I wrote the banter here is just so great.
Yeah, it is great. I will say, I think this episode is not as funny as last episode of like being in the hospital.
I just felt like compare them.
But they're, it's still funny in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's enthralling because of this, the plot line. Mm-hmm. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, I've seen it now.
Yes.
If you're listening to this episode, you've definitely seen it.
Yeah. Please, if you've never seen this episode before, watch it first and then listen to us. I feel like us trying to recount the episode is...
It's not going to happen that well.
It's not going to do it justice. Mm-hmm. So Ross goes outside. He's with the men making the fire. And I love the commentary in here. Actually, who wrote this episode? Who did we say it wrote?
Someone new, I think, actually.
Because, like, there is some really interesting commentary here on, like, the show. Yeah, Chris Brown has never written for them before, I don't think, thus far. I almost kind of wonder if Chris Brown is making fun of the show in writing it. Because, like, the whole, like, men make fire thing is hilarious because it just mm-hmm. feels like it's making fun of them. And right. then, like, the comment of, like...
How could she do that when she's never shown any interest in you?
And the, you know, go to China, eat some Chinese food. And, you know, Chandler sort of being like, they also just call it food there.
They just call it food.
It's, yeah.
I do like, I think that there's a theme throughout the season of Joey telling Ross to tell Rachel how he feels. Like, it happens in the one with the blackout. It happens later on. Like, it happens in this episode. And now at this point, he's just, like, annoyed. And he's like, dude, you're, like, policing who she's dating when you, like, literally haven't told her at all that you're interested in her. Like, dude, shut up, you know?
Or not policing, but even just, like, I'm sorry. If you're going to have feelings about this, like, you're getting annoying now. You know, like, like.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's.
Like, I understand, like, not wanting. Like, I do understand Ross's position of, like, not wanting to tell your friend that you're into them because of, like, two reasons. One, because, like, you don't know if, like, if they reject you, like, it could have a massive falling out. It could be awkward. It could just feel weird as the group. And, like, second of all, like, you want to. You know, part of you is like, well, if we do start dating, is that going to change our relationship? Is that going to be different? Is there going to be like, you know? So I just feel as though I can understand where Ross is coming from and like not wanting to tell her. But I do have a hard time when he doesn't want to tell her, but he also is like consistently annoyed with her actions.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to not want to tell someone that you want to date them. And it's another thing to not tell them and like then be like, how could you sleep with your ex-husband or ex-fiance, you know? It's like, ugh.
No, that's kind of it, right? Like, it is a predicament to be in. And actually, the question that I was about to ask you is, like, if you were in a similar situation and you weren't Ross, mm-hmm. Like, would you at this point maybe just sort of feel like the time has passed and choose to do what Chandler says and just, like, let it go? Or would you...
I've been in this situation. I was in love with my best friend.
Yeah, that's true. You were.
I was. And this is before my partner, or my partner now, but I spent like 9 months not telling him how I felt and then told him, and it was awkward. It was very awkward. But I was annoyed that he was dating people, which is not valid. It's not valid at all.
No, it's not valid.
But I, like, after I told him, the relationship, friendship didn't really recover in the same way. Because, like, he wasn't interested. And we just had to, like, kind of move past that awkwardly.
And you guys were young and, like,
yeah, we were super young. Like, 18, 19.
How to...
19. Yeah.
Yeah, you were kind of a Ross in that situation, eh?
I was kind of a Ross.
Yeah.
But I was going to say I was more pathetic than a Ross, but that just made me feel really sad about myself.
You kind of were.
Wow. That was a hard time in my life, Quinn.
Yeah. And so, So I guess you kind of know what route you would take in that situation.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, the point here is that, like, if you're going to take the route of being like, actually, maybe I won't tell this person, you have to do the things to get over it.
Yeah.
You know, sure. like you have to actively, like, readjust your expectations and live accordingly, mm-hmm. you know? And if you realize that you can't do that, like, that's also okay. You know, like, I feel like there should be space in relationships to be able to be like, this is how I feel. I'm not asking anything of you, but this is how it is. And I mean, like, everyone's allowed to have feelings and share them appropriately and respectfully. And then people are going to have feelings and react to that. And I don't know. I guess it's just like this belief that we're all just going to like be the same in staticness if we just don't share how we feel. It's just false, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we never have any guarantees in any direction.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I think that like, I think that. Now I just got into a whole other headspace.
But yeah, you're like, just thinking of this
I'm just
friend
thinking of
that
this
you were...
time when I was like 19 years old and so sad. But I was so sad. And I think that like I think that it was really important for me to tell this person how I felt about them. And like knowing that and I think, oh yeah, I remember what I was gonna say. Like I think that in terms of like seeing it from Ross's perspective, like I just remember being like, I hope they tell me that they like me. You know, like I hope he turns around and is like, oh, I like you. And I can imagine that Ross is just like sitting and waiting for Rachel to come up to him and just be like, I love you, Ross, you know, and him just like holding out hope, having like these dreams in his head where they're together, you know. And so it's like I can just imagine that that would be where his headspace is more. And every time she dates someone, it's kind of like it's he's being removed from this fantasy that he has where they're together, you know. And so like, yeah, I actually just made this connection while we were recording right now. So
that you were a Ross?
That I'm a Ross. But I was, okay.
Were.
Whoa. Yeah. I was a Ross.
Were.
Now I'm a Monica. I haven't excelled that much.
Still a Geller.
Oh, my God. Still a Geller. Geller Yeller. Oh, man. Anyways, but yeah. Has that have ever happened to you that you were, like, really interested in a friend of yours?
Well,
I was. Or maybe from the other perspective, if, like, you know, a friend told you that they were really into you?
I have been told by a friend that they were into me and been like, no, I'm not interested.
Right.
And then I also have, I have dated more than one friend. And I feel like that's a conversation for further down the line when Rachel has to make this decision. Mm-hmm. So we can go do that.
We can go do that.
So then Ross goes to China. Not
Ross goes to China.
The dishware.
The country.
The country.
Shockingly.
Yes. Enough.
So Rachel wants to open gifts before first. She eats hamburgers.
Now, okay, I just need to share with you for a second here. Yes. 71% of people would be totally greatly fine with getting Scrabble as a gift. Scrabble as
a gift. It's a great gift.
It's a great gift. I not gave that Travel we're traveling Scrabble
anytime soon.
Yeah.
We gave Travel Scrabble as a gift.
Yeah. And you know what's the best thing about Travel Scrabble, guys? Is that the little pieces click into place. And so it's not just for traveling, it's for you wanting to start a game and not finish the game and put it away so that little Nora doesn't eat the pieces and die. Oof. That was harsh.
Really, that was dark.
Doesn't eat the pieces dangerously. And so it's not just for travel. Travel Scrabble is great, guys.
It's when you're around babies.
It's for keeping tidy house. I feel like it should
turn into like some like advertisement for Travel Scrabble. Yeah. You don't have to leave the country to enjoy Travel Scrabble. You don't have to leave your red zone to enjoy Travel Scrabble.
We are not sponsored, nor do we have a promotional code or link.
I wish.
But if you do want to send an email to Scrabble, you know, nominating us as their sponsor, as being sponsored by them or something, you go right ahead.
That's really random, but all right. Let's see if it happens. Maybe we'll get a phone call from Scrabble.
That'd be great.
I don't know if I'm good enough at Scrabble to get a phone call from Scrabble. This starts the trope of like Rachel hating all gifts. This becomes a theme.
Yeah, this is like the first time that she's like giving away or giving back gifts and returning gifts and exchanging them.
Yeah. Very classic Rachel.
Very classic Rachel.
Which now, is very classic someone who like grew up always getting what they wanted. And like, you know.
I also just think it's very practical. Like, yeah. I'm all for giving gifts. But like, I'm that's also true. Like anti-giving gifts that people are just like not going to use. Like, yeah, for you know, sure. like we don't need more
shit
in this world. I didn't say it, you did. And
We've stopped pretending that we don't swear on this podcast.
And so I like the idea of like her looking at some. I think it's also normalized in our family where we're very much like if we get something from a family member and we're like, I don't think I'm going to use this. We're very open to being like, okay, like here, go get yourself something else or like return it.
With
or
our immediate family. We can't do that with our extended family.
Not always, but anyway, yeah. I like that about our family.
Yeah, it's true. Because we don't like waste, right? So it's like kind of annoying when you get something and you're like, I don't need this. I was going to say pair of socks, but I always need pairs of socks.
Everyone needs socks.
Yeah. We need to make What the Phalange socks.
We do. If you go over to Redbubble, you can buy socks with our logo printed on them.
I forgot about that. You can.
You can.
Wow. We should put that link in our show notes so you can all buy your friends socks for Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good stuff. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Out of the four gifts that Rachel opens, one is The Places You Go by Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
Travel Scrabble.
Yes. The brooch.
The brooch. I feel like there was something else.
Her skirt.
Her skirt.
Well, we don't.
That she returns.
Return and got the skirt. Yeah.
Which one would you prefer?
Okay. I've said this during the Netflix chat. I don't like the skirt because I find it looks like her hips are wearing a cape. But apparently it's like cool and stylish and I don't know anything about fashion, which is like valid because I'm wearing sweatpants that I've been wearing for the past week and a kind of dirty black V-neck. So what do I know about, you know, fashion?
It's 6 p.m. and Emily's wearing her pajamas from last night.
Shh. Why are you telling the public this? It's not public knowledge. It's true though. I put deodorant on this morning though. Does that count for something? Guys, it's rough.
Congratulations.
Pandemic life is rough. Okay, so I would say Travel Scrabble is dope. I don't know if I don't like the grandmother's brooch just because I'm not a fan of brooches, but like I appreciate the sentiment of yeah. like, and this has always been like my favorite way to give a gift and my favorite way to receive a gift is like someone saying something years, like, you know, years before or days before or months before and then, like, you fulfilling it. And I remember when I was in high school, I would take notes when my friends would say that they really liked something so that I could surprise them on their birthday or whatever for things that, like, are really random and that they said, like, months ago that they wanted. And
right.
I think that it's, like, I really like being able to give someone a good fucking gift, you know?
Fucking gift.
Yeah. It's explicit podcast. We can say fucking.
Fuck.
Fuck.
That's boring. Okay. That's enough.
You know what we haven't talked about yet?
What?
The Three Basketeers lady.
Yes. Please. Can we? Okay.
Melanie.
Possibly Melody, because I think they say it both different ways during the episode.
That's weird. The subtitle said Melanie.
Okay.
But it does say, yeah, you're right. It did sound like she said Melody at one point.
Yeah.
She's a dork.
A total dork.
And I say that in the most loving way possible.
She's super cute. Total yeah. dork. Very rodent-y, I would say.
Well, that's mean.
Well, like mousy, you know? Mousy. There's just like something mousy about her.
Mousy is way nicer than rodent-y.
Well.
I would way rather be called mousy than rodent-y.
Okay, you make a point. But I like didn't want to like leave out like chipmunks or because maybe she's more like chipmunky than squirrely, you know? The look that Emily's giving me, you guys.
Please don't ever talk about me to people. What words do you use to describe me?
Anywho.
I noticed you didn't answer that question.
I want to keep us on track.
All right.
Okay.
She's a dork.
She's a dork. But I find she's very, like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
You know, like, she's like Joey, there's been literally no hint to Joey dating anyone seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone, like, I think we have an idea, or I don't know if maybe it's because I've seen the 10 seasons and you see every single person, like, over the 10 seasons. Like, she does not – it's like, you know, like, the game, like, what is not like the others?
One of these things doesn't belong.
And it's like, I would say that Melody / Melanie does not belong. Like, it's just, like, she's not his type, and, like
– is she not a type because she's, like, not – ditzy and an idiot? Because, like, I feel like that's kind of how they portray the women who Joey dates. Like, you don't even, like, you get, like, one line from the woman that Joey dates and that's it. She, like, has a full conversation with someone. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's also so strange because it's, like, he seems, like, kind of serious about her because it's, like, he's bringing her over. They mm-hmm. haven't had sex yet. You know, like.
But it does. It is also weird that, like, okay, I'm going off of track here, but still within the same realm. Like, I find it weird that, like, he said that the study is 2 weeks, right? And so he can't have sex for 2 weeks. And I'm just like, didn't you just start dating this person? Like, is that really that hard to not have sex with someone for the first 2 weeks of dating someone? Like, that feels like very doable. Maybe not for Joey.
Probably not for Joey.
Maybe not for some people. But I just feel like he's anxious and worried about the fact that he can't have sex with her.
I kind of got the impression that, like, they'd been seeing each other for a little while. And this is, like, now it's built up to the point where it's, like...
Tonight's the night.
It's not like you're gonna
make it happen.
Like, I feel like they have to have been dating for a little while if she's going to come over and hang out with his friend on her birthday.
That's true.
Like, on Rachel's birthday. You know, like...
But isn't that, like, a 90s thing where you just bring your dates everywhere?
Just bring them along.
No, but, like, you know, like, people would get, like, wedding invites plus one, and you just, like,
bring a random date.
Like, no one – millennials can't afford that. No one's getting married and saying bring whoever you want.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I have no idea how that works exactly.
Whatever. It's just – it's weird, but it's fine. She gives – oh, you forgot to name one of the gifts as a fruit basket. That Rachel received.
Oh, that's the one. Yes. So it was fruit basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to relist them.
But I would like to get a fruit basket. That's so nice.
I'm probably not allergic to anything in there.
Okay. I don't know. You're allergic to avocados, aren't you?
It's undetermined.
Okay. So anyways, moving on from this very long-winded conversation about Melody / Melanie.
And we're going to revisit it in a little bit.
We're going to revisit it. But... she gets this brooch, and then she's like, this is so nice. I can't believe he remembered. And then Chandler's like, well, don't you remember when Ross fell in love with Carol and got her that, I mean, like, that super expensive crystal duck? And then he flops his words a little bit.
Oh, my God. This is such a great moment / scene /
Chandler.
Yeah. It's just like... it's so good how it just feels so real the way he, like, says it, as though he's, like, just, like, doing his casual, like, make fun of whoever behind their back kind of thing. Like, not behind their back, but, like, knowingly. And then realizes, like, slowly what he says and, like, and just the panic. Because he could have recovered.
He could have recovered.
I mean, Joey maybe could have helped him, but, like, he could have recovered.
He could have just been, like... oh, yeah, like when, like, you know, Ross just buys really expensive gifts for people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he needed to be, like, you know, like, he definitely could have recovered.
I think he could have. I mean, and also, I feel like Joey probably didn't want him to recover because he was fucking sick of it.
Yeah, that's true. But I do love Joey's acting here. Like, you just see Chandler, like, you know, flapping his arms, can't say what he's saying. And Joey just, like, kind of retreats back into the couch. He's like,
recoils, like, oh.
It's great.
Yeah, it's very well done. And then he goes, and just, like, the panic.
Good. Just keep rubbing your head. That'll turn back time. So great.
Yeah. And then the, what is it, the expression? The cat's out of the bag?
Cat's out of the bag.
And
so it's unbelievable. It's, none of our lives are ever going to be the same.
Says Phoebe.
That's what Phoebe says.
Okay. Can we have a conversation about this?
Okay.
Because.
That's what we're here for. That's literally
it is a podcast. You talk and then I talk and then you talk after.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, okay, Phoebe says that.
Yes.
First of all, way to turn up the heat, Phoebe.
I know.
Like, that's just intense. But in your opinion, do you think that their lives will now change forever? Or did it change everything forever?
Well, we're not going to say did it change everything because that's a massive spoiler. We are going to say...
right.
That where I feel like it could definitely change a group dynamic for sure. If you find out that, like, you're a really close group of people and one person is into the other person and now this person has to make a decision and it could have repercussions on the group dynamic, you know, and the future of the friendship of the group. You know, if it crashes and burns, that could affect people, right? So I think that, yes, it could change their lives.
Right. I mean,
but I do think that it should be expected that a group of six people that spend so much time together would eventually
pivot, at the very least.
Pivot?
Oh. Like, just sort of like things will change. Pivot. I didn't even realize I was making that reference.
And yeah, they should, like, they would have maybe some form of relationship. Like, you know, I feel like most of my friends have kissed their friends.
That was a really vague statement.
A lot of my friends have kissed their other friends, you know?
Right.
So, like, it's kind of a bound to happen, but it's just like if you have a solid friend group, then these kind of things should keep the friendship in, like, should not affect the friendship dynamic, but maybe will. I don't know. Whatever.
Right. Well, anyway, Rachel does think it's huge and mm-hmm. needs to go talk to him.
In her stellar outfit.
Yeah, in her stellar outfit. I feel like I would feel very similarly to her.
Yeah.
Like, if this person was now suddenly going to leave for a week, like, that's, like, the worst cliffhanger to be left with for a week. Mind you, on the other hand, like, maybe it's also a good thing because then it gives you, like, some space and time to think of it and gather your thoughts to then be able to, like, address the situation.
Right.
Not impulsively, but, like, actually with some reflection.
Right. Yeah.
But it would.
I was about to say, sometimes impulsively is great, but, you know, maybe not when it comes to, like, intense dynamics that could change the relationship. But, like, yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, like, sometimes tuning into your gut and your intuition about something says a lot, right? And she says that. She goes, like, my gut says that she think like, it would be really great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so. And she says, like, that when she's talking to Fantasy Ross. I'm going to call him Fantasy Ross.
Are we going that far ahead?
Yeah. Maybe.
No, I think we should veer back into – so she goes to the airport and she can't reach him.
That's true.
And so comes back home.
Yeah. That's all you wanted to say?
Well, we're not – we have
enough to just bothering you. I just wanted to piss you off. It worked. I wanted to say that this is very pre-9/11, that Rachel just, like,
I know, right?
Goes through security is, like, right walking into the plane almost, like, no, I know, way right? Gonna happen anymore.
There's, like, one person that's, like, federal regulation.
So great.
It's like, sweetie, you have no idea.
It's about to change. Oh, man.
Yes. And so... she gets back. Also, for anyone who did not notice, and I forgot to put it in our fashion stuff, like fashion ratings, the guy that the flight attendant goes to talk to and is like, hey, Rachel is leaving you a message. And it's like, not Ross, it's someone mm-hmm. else. You have to look at his tie.
Should we just tell them? Because they're not going to go back and rewatch the episode.
Well, I was going to say it.
Sorry. Too excited.
It's just a bunch of cartoon sharks, guys.
It's sharks. It's a shark tie.
I just feel like it makes it, like, extra funny. Like, he's just, like, clearly some dork. Doesn't mean that you can't cheat on your partner, but I just think it's funny that he's like, I don't know who Rachel is. And
yeah, this
it's hard to take him super seriously with the shark tie.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, yes. Yeah, so the next scene technically is the basketeer lady and Joey. Do we want to do that or do we want
in
to
just bed.
Talking about – okay, yeah, you want to talk about it. You said in bed. Let's do it. So
do you get it? Because normally it's a joke.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
So they had sex. and it was
– well, okay.
Sex for her.
Sex for her. Yes. So this is like, okay, I think we also need to touch base to, like, what happened before, where, like, Joey is explaining that he doesn't know what to do because she's going to want to have sex tonight. He doesn't know what to do because he can't ejaculate. outside of the fertility study.
Which, like, also, there's a layer of consent there that, like, if he doesn't want to have sex, he should also just be able to be like, I don't want to have sex.
That is
a very
good point.
And, like, have that space to do that and not have to, like, try to find a way around and make up excuses and feel awkward and, like, you know. So I think that, like, in a lot of ways, I'm like, great, Joey, time for you to prioritize the not your orgasm and time for you to, like, reflect on the way you have sex. But also, if you don't have sex, that's valid and should be said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And respected. And also, why don't you just tell someone that you're doing a fertility study? It's not the end of the world.
Because all his friends laughed at him, and then therefore he can't communicate well with his partner.
Wow.
I mean, that's not fully an excuse.
Don't laugh at your friends.
Yeah.
They'll be shitty to their partners.
Okay. That's not the moral of the story. But, but yes. So it's just interesting of a scene where they're sort of like making fun of the situation where it's like, because very much in the world of media, like, sex is very defined by the male orgasm and very often the female orgasm. I don't know if, like, should we be, I feel like that's still, like, not enough of an explanation. So it's like, really, the sex is defined by a
penis ejaculating.
Yeah. A cis male orgasm. And yeah, I think that's like,
yes and no. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Anyway.
I would say, yeah, yeah.
As right.
a loose term. Usually, let's put it this way. In terms of, like, usually sex is defined as, first of all, straight sex.
Yes.
And second of all, a penis ejaculating.
Yeah. Within that straight sex, having
straight cis sex.
Straight cis sex.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like, looking at it face on, you know, head on, like, and holistically here, usually the media only portrays and revolves the concept of sex around straight cis sex.
Yes.
And then within that straight cis sex, that
say that 10 times it is
straight cis sex.
Straight cis sex. Oh, damn. It's hard. Straight cis sex.
You guys, if you guys can say that 10 times fast,
send us a YouTube video of it.
send us an Insta video or put it on your Insta story and tag us.
No one wants that on their Insta story. Anyways, yes. So,
and then, yeah, within that, it's straight cis man orgasm.
Yes.
And wow, feels like quite the conversation, quite the words to try to get down to the bottom of this conversation, where it's just then you have Joey here who's like, does not understand the concept of that not being the case.
Right.
Like, is completely, absolutely oblivious to it. Like,
right.
Monica's like trying to like spell it out to him, and he's still like, I don't get what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, sex doesn't exist if he's not having a good time, or like if he's not, like, you know, ejaculating or having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Boring, Joey. Boring.
Exactly.
I do have to say that at the end of this scene, So she is like, then calls him a woman, which I think is hilarious because, like, the implication is that, like, women are just better in bed, and maybe Melanie's future timeline is her being with women. That's my dream.
That is the dream.
That is a dream. But, as the scene kind of closes, the camera pans, and I don't know if you noticed this, but as the camera pans, there's a little statue sitting on Joey's night table, and it's a statue of the Thinker, which is like a statue, like a famous statue, and it's a man like sitting on the edge of like a seat or a chair, and he's got like his fist underneath his chin, and he's thinking, haha. And so I just think it's like really random that like Joey has this statue in his room, like, of all people to have a statue about thinking, it's Joey.
That's only the DVD version.
Oh, really?
It cuts before that. Yeah. But in the DVD version, it pans over. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't particularly feel the need to
talk about this anymore.
All that much more.
Yeah.
However, if people feel dissatisfied with our conversation and want us to talk more about orgasms in future episodes, let us know.
Yeah. Or let us know in our live stream, too.
Also, because I really just want to talk about what we're about to talk about.
Which is, are you going to go for Ross? Go for it with Ross or throw it out?
Yeah. Let's get into that conversation.
So then we get that conversation where Phoebe is like, it's like, where Monica says, it's like starting to date someone on the 15th date. And Phoebe's like, yeah, but it's like starting to date someone on the 15th date.
And they both make excellent points.
Yeah, dating a friend is a very different thing than dating, like, a random person who's not in your group of friends. Like, there's just a different relationship involved and different things to think about.
And on, like, the one side of, like, being on the 15th date, like, besides even the amount of dates. Also, okay, let's take a hot sec here to point out the fact that, like, do people keep counting to the 15th date?
Yeah, you know? I know. You just say, like, you've been dating for a couple months. But also, again, dating is different.
Yeah, that's the thing that I just can't wrap my head around. You know, like, people who actually, like,
count their dates
for that many times.
Yeah.
You know, when I just want to stop going out for dinner and just really want to watch a movie.
Yeah. Or, like, but that's a date, too, right? Like, so I think it's more like,
right,
like, has this person been, like, integrated into your life in a way in which, like, it's not like specific qualities set out time and more just like integrated time into the rest of your life and activities.
Right.
Which I think we all do now with technology. Like, we all integrate people into our life. You go out on a date with someone and you add them on Facebook and then they comment on your shit and then you send them a GIF and then you send them a meme and then you're having sex 3 days later. You know? You never know. I'm kidding. No, never happened to me, but it happens to many people. It's 2020. Well, 2020 has not been a good year for sex. For like,
no,
you know, I guess, I mean, more like one night stand sex or like people who don't live with their spouses sex.
Yeah. I also feel like being stuck in literally your house and not being able to go anywhere else and only see the face of your partner continuously is also not a great setup for sex either.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Living at your parents' house is also not a great setup for sex either.
Yeah, so I think we can all say that 2020 is generally not a good year for sex.
Oh, man. Hopefully 2021 will be better. But yes, so totally. I want to talk a little bit within the same realm of all of this about, did I interrupt you? Are you mad at me? Okay.
No, sorry. I'm just.
Quinn's waving their arms around frantically.
Okay. I'm down.
I want to say that it would be awful to have Monica as a sister-in-law.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel bad for anyone that I date. Because you're Monica. Ha!
Oh, I thought you meant because you'd be dating them. Oh, burn! I just said burn. This is 2002.
Okay, you guys, I think we're losing it.
We're losing it, but we're funny. It's funny. We're fine. So, yeah, Monica as a sister-in-law would be really rough.
Oh, my God. Monica would be the worst. I wouldn't date someone if they were connected to Monica.
Yeah. What? Well, I don't know. Like, Monica has, like, some really great moments. Like, okay. We were just talking a couple episodes ago about how, like, she's a really great friend. And, like...
Okay, let me clarify. If I was Rachel in that position and then Monica freaked out like that, I'd be like, never mind. Yeah, nothing is worth this.
It's hard. Because you already have an established relationship with Monica, too. And so there's, like, this weird thing and dynamic. And I don't know. I think, like, you know, no spoilers, but it works out.
So wait, to loop back around though, what I was going to say is that like even beyond like 15th date wise, dating a friend is like usually
a big deal.
No.
Oh.
I was going to say usually great in the sense that, like, you know this person. You know you can trust them.
Yeah.
Like, you understand them in many ways, and that can be a really, like, comforting thing.
Right.
You know? And so, like, that can be a really great reason to date a friend.
True.
And then on the other side, when Phoebe's like, but then it's her 15th date. And
it's true.
And
if things don't work out, it, like, and it falls apart, then the repercussions are way more because you're in it in a very different way than you were if you were, like, two dates in.
I think I want to point out here. So I've been in the situation. Okay, I'm going to take two friends specifically that I started dating on separate occasions. That one of them, they both, I'm not dating either of them anymore. So the romantic relationship in both these realms didn't work out. But then on one hand, one person I'm still very good friends with and love very, very dearly. And the Emily made a face that made it look like I was talking about her, but that would be really weird.
Talking about. I just know who you're talking about. And they're great.
And then on the other hand, the other relationship didn't work out and it completely destroyed our friendship as well. Like, there's no recovering from what happened there.
Right.
And so I guess, like, in response to Phoebe and to, like, put my two cents into, like, the processing that Rachel is going to be going through over the next rest of this episode is, like, dating your friend doesn't mean that if it doesn't work out, it's going to destroy everything.
Right.
Right? You can still come out of it, and if you had, like, a really strong relationship before that, it can – if you go into a relationship and you're like, actually, this doesn't work, you know, like – you can come out of it.
I do feel like it's different because and not saying that, like, I just think that it's very different because Ross has been in love with Rachel for so many years. Whereas, like, in your case, it wasn't like someone who had been in love with you for 9 years, right? Like, and so I think that, like, coming into that right away, the stakes are high because, like, Rachel can't dip her toe in the water. Rachel needs to jump in 2 feet with Ross because he's already in the water. He's swimming around. He's been there all day.
That's creepy.
But, like, it's true. Like, so she it is a big decision to make because she can't, you know, she can't just test it out.
Right. But I guess that's what I want to say is that I think we need to, like, continue to normalize the idea of, like, when a romantic relationship doesn't work out, that it can be very normal to stay friends with that person.
For sure, for sure.
Because I feel like there's, like, a large sect of people who are like, you can't be friends with your ex, you know?
That makes me so sad.
That does make me so sad because it's like, I mean, you dated that person for a reason. Mm. You know, you were attracted to them for a reason.
Yeah.
And even if, like, the actual functionalities of the relationship didn't work out, that doesn't mean that, like, you didn't originally think this person was, like, awesome and great and, like, you know, had these certain qualities that you really admired about yeah. them and that you wanted more of in your life. And that's why you wanted to date them,
yeah.
you know? And so just because a romantic relationship doesn't work out doesn't mean that you can't have a friendship with that person mm-hmm. continue.
It just needs to be, like, really good communication because I've also been on that like kind of line of things where I was really good friends with someone and then we dated and then we broke up and then we were kind of both in different headspaces around it and then we just ended up kind of like sleeping together off and on again in like this kind of like weird relationship where we weren't together but we like were good friends and kind of blah 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 and it was kind of messy and awful
right
and like I was like still really in love with them and like you know, it just, it was sad. It was sad. But then we, you know, really broke things off and then we recovered and we're friends again.
Right.
So it is doable, but sometimes it's just a mess in order to get there.
Right.
Because like, and love adds a really, like, romantic love adds a very different level to a relationship that requires a different kind of recovery. You know, I feel like friendships, like, Like, for me, I've had friendships fall out just from, like, from not really from any real massive fights, but more just kind of, like, we kind of like drift apart, and then like that's kind of how the friendship ends. But like relationships don't end, romantic relationships don't end by just like drifting apart, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in the same way.
No, yeah, I agree. I guess I'm definitely not saying that like expect yourself to be able to be like, actually, I don't think that we can be a romantic relationship anymore. And then tomorrow wake up and be like, we're besties. Because that's unrealistic as well. Because
and could
like
be harmful too.
Within friendships and relationships and everything, there has to be grieving and healing and conversations. And I don't want to make it seem as though like that's what happened with my, you know, now ex and also good long-term friend. Like we were friends for a long time before that we dated. And then there was a time after we dated that it was possible that we were never going to be friends again. Yes. And that was like really sad. But, you know, it's...
You're a good story. A good story for people who think that they can't be friends with people who are really important to them, who they broke up with.
Yeah.
So it can happen. Yeah. Just give it time. And that concludes our... our energy of the week.
But yeah, and I guess I don't know what I was going to say next on that topic, but
great.
Point being is that, you know, there's like this big overlooming fear of like, maybe it won't work out. But also I guess alongside that, I want to say that like, I think from the very beginning of this podcast, I've been a big proponent of being like, you know, romantic love does not trump friendship love. Mm-hmm. And we tend to put romantic love on a pedestal. And so there's like an aspect of like, you're in love with this person. Does that mean you have to be in a romantic relationship? Or can you just be in a friendship? Because that is also valid. Yeah. If you're like, I'm in love with this person, but I actually don't think that we would function well as a relationship. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Have them as your good friend and love them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. We do put a hierarchy on relationships a lot. And I think that like, yeah, I think that it's just so hard because so often romantic relationships tend to involve some form of like long-term commitment planning that like you don't see in the same way with friendships. And that's unfortunate because there should be some sort of long-term commitment planning with friendships. But it's just so it's very different when you're like expecting to create a family or something along those lines or have like long-term projects and blah, blah, blah.
You know? Yeah. And we live in a world that's completely constructed around the concept of a nuclear family.
And monogamy. Yeah.
Yeah. Nuclear monogamous hetero family. And so It just sort of makes it a lot more difficult for community mindedness and to prioritize friendships and all those, you know, have polyamorous relationships or, you know, just not be straight. Like all those things are just like not normalized within our society and are therefore made to be really, really difficult to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I thought we were done, but then now I just realized we haven't even talked at all about Carl.
Carl. Emily, who would you rather date, Carl or Ross?
I think you got the message that I sent. I said, is being dead an option?
I didn't read that. Oh my God.
But I'm kidding. I would 100% Ross. Like, Carl is like, what is this? He's just clearly supposed to be an antagonist. Like, they just created this worst guy possible to, like, make you be like, how could she not at all go for Ross after this guy, you know?
Like, and for Ross to stand next to him and be like, you'd rather date this guy than me? And we'd be like, yeah, Rachel, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, he's rough. He like hates environmentalists or some shit. Like it's just like he's loud and obnoxious. And I find it kind of like I almost find it rude to Rachel's character that this is her second date with him. Like,
I know.
Come on, Rachel. Like,
well, no, okay. So though, okay. In the DVD though, when she decides to run out and go get Ross.
Yes.
She does have a conversation with Monica that is not on the Netflix version, is one a really great scene where she's like, I'm going to go get Ross. And Monica's like, oh my God, that's so great. She's like, Monica, I'm not going to finish my date, so you can have the rest if you want it. And Monica is like,
He's not a sandwich. Which is great.
Which is valid. And then Rachel says...
Well, Rachel says that he is a investment broker and has two tickets to the opera. And Monica just turns around, looks at the window where they're standing on the balcony and waves to him in like this really amazing way. Like she's just like, yeah, I'll take that.
Hello. Yeah. And so I could see if he approached Rachel and was like, you want to go to the opera with me? She'd probably say yes to a second date for that.
Right. Fair. But,
yeah. I love Rachel and she definitely loves materialistic things. Yeah, so
that's true.
But, okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So in at this point, okay, because I'm like watching Rachel while we're prepping for this podcast. And I'm like, yeah, I think if I was Rachel, I would probably, if I found out like my friend was in love with me and I did have like an inkling of like attraction to them and like her initial reaction, like her gut reaction, she says in this episode is like, yes, I want this. Yeah, mm-hmm. This sounds like it would be great. Now, do you think Rachel would feel that way if she found out all the other things that us as an audience has seen Ross do over this past season? Like if like the information of Ross is in love with you also came with her knowing and understanding like what he said to Paolo and like all those things that he's done this season.
Right.
Because I was thinking about it while watching it this episode and I was like, she didn't see any of the red flags.
Right.
You know, she just saw this person that she loves and trusts. And
about her.
And that she's never heard him talk about her when she's not around, never heard him like his opinions on like different things about her and her, like it's just.
I have some feels about that because okay. Like I wouldn't want to be judged and like nitpicked on all of the things that like I did, Okay, we've spent this entire season nitpicking Ross. Don't get me wrong. It's been very enjoyable. But I guess, like, I just don't think that I would want to be boiled down to that. I just think that it's within Rachel's space to, like, see how it works. And, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. Because, like, I just feel like, you know, I've said shitty things and been shitty and like I wouldn't want someone to just like not want to be my friend or date me because of like the things that I've done that are shitty.
But I mean, I'm like talking like, yes, all of us are very multifaceted and have mm-hmm. moments where we say things that should never be repeated because we don't actually mean it and we just need a space to let it go, you know?
Let it go. Yeah.
But I guess, like, I'm more referring to the fact that he's been, like, whiny and possessive and, like, when he doesn't have a right to be and, like, upset about things and, like with what happened with Marcel, like, him just, like, projecting all of his shit onto her. Like, if she understood that,
well,
like...
Well, she saw that, yeah.
Yeah, she saw that, but she also didn't understand the nuances and the complexities underneath it, right? And, like... Yeah, I guess.
I think that I would still want to give it a chance if I was Rachel. I'd still want to see where it went with this person who I loved, who was my best friend, who I cared about a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And because she – it's not like just because she hasn't witnessed him do it with her, like about her, she has witnessed him be this way around other people – about other people. You know what I mean? Like we only get, you know, a day in the life of friends every once in a while. But, like, technically, you know, they would have had, like, an entire relationship, an entire friendship over the course of a year in which she's probably seen him be a dick about his coworkers, probably seen him be a dick about the other friends in the group and be weird and annoying and, like, obsessive, probably, mm-hmm. because that's kind of how Ross is. And, like, and she still wants to date him after all of that. So, I don't know. It's hard. And we do get a bit of a taste of that in season two.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Season two.
So, yeah.
Okay. I just thought it was an interesting
point. It's true. No.
Because sometimes you think you know a friend and then you never actually saw certain parts of how they were acting about you or towards you.
Yeah, that's true. When you put it that way, yeah. It is interesting. Like, I think I would have a hard time with it. It would make me think twice but not necessarily write him off completely, but like want to have a conversation with him about that behavior and like what it meant and what it would mean for our relationship moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So responsible.
I'm saying that's what I would want to do. Would I do it? Probably not. I talk a good talk, man. Okay,
we all do.
So we get this. Yeah. So we get that fantasy dream sequence and she gets this amazing kiss with Ross in her dreams. So she gets to the airport.
Oh my goodness.
And then
I forgot about this point.
We get a really intense cliffhanger for season one where there is there's another woman.
Okay. Let's not put it that way.
But I know. Another woman. I mean, like there's literally another person that he's with.
Yeah. So essentially they turn the corner and Ross is picking up a bag for someone and he's like, oh, here, I got that for you. And then she's like, oh, thank you. And then she's like, I'm so nervous to meet your friends. And he's like, it'll be great. And then they kiss.
Yeah. And yeah, he says, you don't think they'll judge, or she says, you don't think they'll judge and ridicule me. And he goes like, oh, they will, but I can't wait to see it. And I just think it's like, I really like this person. We technically don't know her name yet, I guess, in the episode. But she is like,
you are immediately like, you're great.
Yeah. She's like kind of fun and cute. And like, yeah, I think.
And his like, yeah. And they're like, they're dynamic rapport. There. Yeah, yeah. The rapport in that one little tiny moment. You have a moment of being like, dude, that's cute.
Yeah.
And then it switched over to Rachel, who's waiting with flowers and her brooch on. Like waiting for them.
Oh, I didn't even notice the brooch.
Yeah, she puts on the brooch.
Oh, that's so cute.
And you're just like,
ah. Yeah, and it's so cute. She was bringing him flowers. Like, how cute is that?
So freaking cute.
I want someone to pick me up from an airport with flowers.
I know.
Like, he's only been gone for a week. That's so nice.
So sweet.
And then we get a cliffhanger, and that's how it ends.
And we can't reflect on anything else because that is it for season one.
Yeah. And we are at the edge of our seat wondering what's going to happen in season two.
Are you on the edge of your seat?
No.
Wondering what's going to happen for season two?
Oh, for the podcast. Nice.
See what I did there?
Quinn just did like a double eyebrow lift. Like a
I didn't even know I was doing it.
Classic. Yeah.
So on that note.
Tune in on Tuesday, December 15th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to talk season two.
Yeah. Because maybe to give you a bit of a primer.
We don't know where we're at.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 chance right now.
Okay, let's not put it that way. But we're weighing some really big things and trying to make something work. And I think that I'll probably post something up on Instagram in the meantime. But tune in on Tuesday so that we can all have like a conversation together and kind of talk about things and kind of
we need to make this podcast sustainable for us and make it into something that makes us feel really good about the time and energy that we're putting into it. So that's the discussions we're having. And we would love your help and your opinion on how we can make that happen. And so please be there with us on this journey.
Exactly.
The wonderful, magical journey of podcasting about friends. All right. So you can follow us on Instagram at WTPhalangePodcast. You can always send us an email at WTPhalange@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can find me. My name is Emily at Emily B Yoga on Instagram, although I've been very not active lately on Instagram.
And that's Emily IE, not a Y.
I know. I wasn't done.
Well, I needed to clarify for everyone.
You just wanted to say it for me because it's a fun thing to say.
It is a fun thing to say.
And so you can also find me on my website, emilybyoga.com. That's Emily with an IE and not a Y.
And you can find me, Quinn, at quinnkbrunet.com or quinnkbrunet as a handle for various different social media platforms.
Woo-woo!
And that's all about me, actually.
Yeah, that's all I got.
That's all I have. So
that's it. Oh my God. This is so wild for the end.
I have so many mixed feelings right now.
So many mixed feelings. We're gonna debrief. We're gonna debrief on Tuesday. I'm stoked.
Okay. So keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com, email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at wtphalangepod, or follow us on Instagram at wtphalangepodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an IE.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.